Do you just want to give a very loud slate?
Well, no, it's quiet hours.
Loud enough to be picked up by all three mics.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Nighthawks, live in Telluride in 3, 2, 1.
You got it. Sounds good.
Sexy lady.
Telluride style?
That was exactly what I was going for. You read my mind.
Good, good. It shows we're on the same wavelength.
Do the little bunny dance. Oh my God, people, he actually did it. It's audio, and he did it. Or did he, or am I framing him?
We are set up at the Ursa Bruin and Kodiak Studios in beautiful downtown Telluride. I think we should probably get this episode going.
That was an in-joke about an actual bear we saw.
Well, I was going to name him after the Twitter handle for Fangoria, which I think is like Fango McFango Face. The bear. It was non-political, I just want to add. He takes no sides. He's just here to eat garbage.
I'm just a brown bear. Highly opportunistic omnivore, which is sometimes predatory as regards to fish or carrion. Very seldom living creatures, but I occasionally dabble in predation. That's my basic shtick, and all I have to say is I just have some questions about Tower 7.
I mean, don't we all have questions about Tower 7?
Nope, I accept the mainstream narrative. Because if I was afraid my government was lying to me, I surely wouldn't try to call them out on a podcast. They have assassins.
The people can't see me shrugging my shoulders, but I'm shrugging my shoulders.
He's doing it. It's audio, and he's doing it.
And Trevor just talked into his vape.
KOKW calling. I'm on international frequency. Come in.
I am Torgo. I take care of the place while the master is away.
He's trying to cheat us, Pepe. All this talk is so he can get a better price, so he can make fools of us.
Yeah, it's so easy to make a fool of me. Why don't you try it sometime?
Well, I got something done. I got a job at Mr. Greenfeld's sporting goods store, and he promised to do anything he can to help me to get to Texas.
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
I had a reason for inviting each guest. I wanted kind of a cross-section. They share one thing. They all need money. Now let's see if they're brave enough to earn it.
And you call this a party?
Could be.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very special episode of the Nighthawks podcast, the cinema-centric podcast for folks who like to hang out late at night, talk about movies, sit in a imaginary cafe with your friends who can neither see you nor acknowledge you. And to bring you that service, we are the Nighthawks podcast. You can find us on Facebook at the Nighthawks podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Nighthawks Pod. Find the podcast at the podcatcher of your choice. The podcast aggregates that we show on are iTunes, Stitcher, Last.fm. There are various and many. Spotify.
We should get a podcat. The one with little feet.
Pod kitty. Little toe beans. Also, be sure to check out the Hello Sweetie Podcast Network, which we are a member of. And other such podcasts on that network include the Rebootleggers, hilariously pitching ideas for crazy reboots of established materials. And you can also check out Geek Parenting for all of your geek and parenting needs. And folks, I'm not even a parent. I like this show. So be sure to check that out. This is a very special episode. First off, first and foremost, very special episode. We've got not only are Matt and I in the same room, which is not normal, we also are in the same room with a third person. I think this might be the first time in Nighthawks history where, like, all three people who are on the podcast are in the same studio.
I think that's true. You are correct, sir.
John Paul II, Days of Our Lives, and then Quayle.
I don't know that I've ever recorded a podcast like this where I'm actually can see the people that I'm recording with. I don't think I have ever. We've been at the whim of Skype and Google Hangouts for my entire podcast career, basically.
Well, yeah, joining us today for his second or third appearance on the Nighthawks podcast is Fancy Mark, Mark Ball from the Fancy and Friends podcast, from various and sundry. What are you doing these days?
Fancy and Friends isn't really running right now. We were
on hiatus.
It's on hiatus. We were doing some episodes of a show called The Midnight Horror Show, which became The Return of the Midnight Horror Show, which became The Movie and Hip Hop Show, which we're on a little break from that, but there's some episodes of that on SoundCloud and iTunes and what have you.
It was called The Originals, but then it was called The New Originals.
It's a show that's been running for 10 years.
There's another band in the West End called The Originals, so we called ourselves The New Originals.
That show has like started and stopped more time than like my mom's broke down Jeep Wagoneer did as children. So, there's episodes of that online. I also want everybody to check out the podcast Under the Stairs. I was on their giant summer series, which was the top 20 horror movies of the 90s.
Yeah, we were talking about that off mic earlier.
We watched some good movies and we watched a lot of garbage movies, but yeah, the end list, there was like 15 different podcasters that worked on this series. So, the end result list might surprise you. There was a few things that broke my heart about that series. Apparently a lot of other people don't appreciate movies like Jacob's Ladder and Cemetery Man the same way that I do. And, anyway, go check those out. I listened to a bunch of those on the way here and they turned out really good.
Those aren't the same.
The same movie?
Like Jacob's Ladder is different than Cemetery Man.
Oh, absolutely. Right? But they're like two of my favorite horror movies from the 90s. Very, very different movies, but not as beloved by other people as I had assumed.
Well, first things first, this is also a special episode because not only are we all three live and in the same studio, but we are actually in a studio remotely. We are live on Memorex at the Telluride Horror Show in beautiful Telluride, Colorado. We're going to be bringing you some information on the latest horror show happenings, what you can see, what we've seen, how we feel about it. We're not going to be giving you any spoilers, so don't worry. Most of these films have not been distributed yet. They're going to be, this is really kind of a crystal ball for horror movies to come. But speaking of Ball, Mr. Mark Ball, you're just fresh off of Fantastic Fest. You kind of did a turn and burn on festivals.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago, there was another one in Sheridan that I debated going to last weekend. And I'm like, I can't do three festivals in 3 weeks. That's,
you know, had I
insane.
Known about the one in Sheridan, Wyoming, I would have gone.
Yeah.
It ran across my radar far too late in the game.
I didn't read about it until we were at Fantastic Fest. So I was like, that'd be cool. There's no way I can figure this out schedule wise, but that would be cool. But this is my first Telluride. Fantastic Fest was really good this year. I walked out of 90% of the movies really liking them. And interestingly enough, Telluride got like five or six of the movies that also played at Fantastic Fest, and they were almost all, except for one, movies that I didn't get to see at Fantastic Fest. So this was a nice opportunity to fill some of those gaps.
You know, if I can start giving and first off, we should mention that we were invited by the festival. We came as press. So we're just going to get that out there. But we're not being compensated. They are not an official sponsor of the show. So, I mean, these are honest takes that they expect from us. But really, if we're going to just start singing the praises of the festival from the get-go, one of the things I like about this is that it's happening late enough in the season that we can judge our movies, because a lot of these have played at festivals before.
Right.
Some of these were world premieres. Some of these were at least United States premieres. Most of them seemed like Colorado premieres or regional premieres. But I was able to gauge what I was going to see at Telluride this year based on what I was hearing from Fantasia, based on what I was hearing from Toronto, based on what I was hearing from Fantastic Fest. Mark, since we're on Fantastic Fest, there was a lot of programming that overlapped, but you had not seen any of the Telluride movies that were programmed that were at Fantastic Fest at Fantastic Fest.
Except for one, which was After Midnight. That was the only one that I saw at Fantastic Fest. It was one of my favorites. So
yeah, we'll get to that in a second, because I think that's one all three of us saw. But first off, Telluride, western part of Colorado, southwestern, really, I guess would be probably the correct nomenclature for the region we're in. This is my first time in the area. Had either of you guys been through or been in the area before?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Did you want details?
No.
Okay.
I think Grand Junction is about as close as I've been, and that's like still at least 2 hours away.
No, Matt, do you have details? Do you have something to share?
No, I was actually overcompensating. I've never been closer than Grand Junction either.
Oh, see, and I don't recall even having been through Grand Junction. Like, I've been in kind of the Vail Steamboat area and all through the I-25 corridor. But really, Western Colorado has eluded me, and especially being really up in the middle of the mountains like this. And, you know, folks, we all have some kind of youthful connection to the same region of Wyoming at some point in our lives. And we grew up with some mountains, but man, this place is really nestled in the mountains.
It's super pretty.
It is. It's breathtaking.
You just keep like looking around and going, oh, this is nice. Huh, this is nice. Huh, I'll be damned. It's nice here. Like it's the complete opposite of Los Angeles in every way.
You know, that's fair. It's small. I can literally, like, when I pull out of our Bruin Kodiak and Ursus studio here, I can actually look in my rearview mirror and see one side of town, and look through my windshield and see the other side of town.
Yeah, it's like maybe a mile end to end.
That's a mile end to end on the longest side. What I'm talking about, I think it's about 4 blocks long.
Oh yeah,
width-wise. And apparently there is like kind of more to the area once you hop on the gondola, and there's some ski areas up there that have some other shops and accoutrements. I have not as yet explored that, but I was here to see movies.
Yeah.
How was the drive for you, gentlemen?
You know, it's not too bad for me. We beat the weather. Met up with you in Grand Junction. We did some shenanigans there. Limited shenanigans.
Few shenanigans.
Basically one shenanigan.
Shenag.
Yeah, I actually ended up leaving. We all kind of came from different areas. Like, Mark and I came from the same starting point, but we took totally different routes. And Matt, you kind of didn't get hit with this, but Mark, you did. I left early enough that I kind of dodged a bullet here, but there was some pretty significant weather predicted for the home base, but didn't end up being quite as severe as people said.
Pretty much like the minute we got out of Casper, it wasn't so bad, but Casper to Denver was pretty rough. Like, there'd been at least a little bit of snow that had fallen like 24 hours before we took off, and like most of that drive was in the dark also, so that was a little bit stressful. The Denver to Telluride was a little over 7 hours, and it's really pretty country, but like a lot of it's in like real tiny roads, like through canyons and stuff. So it was kind of a hard road. I had a like screaming headache by the time I got here, just because I've gone up and down so many mountains and it's been like staring at the interstate for 7 straight hours. But it wasn't horrible.
You know, that is something to note that you do have to contend with, is that even for folks like us, you know, Mark and I come from a region that's about a mile high. That's where Matt spent a few formative years. And I don't know that parts unknown where you haunt in Utah are all that low on elevation, are they?
No, I think it's about 5,400.
And so really in Telluride, you're dealing with almost double that. I think they're at about 9,000 here, which is even higher than I used to kick it in Wyoming at university, which was a pretty significant bunt. So you're not quite 2 miles high, but you are well enough to consider yourself in the quote-unquote mile-high club for recording a podcast. Asterisks on that is important.
And only for recording a podcast.
Well, folks, why waste any more time? We're going to get down to the meat and potatoes of our blue plate special here. Not to be found in Telluride. Telluride is quite a spendy town, but in the Nighthawks Diner, the blue plate special is always delicious and affordable. Day one.
Deliciously brown.
Oxidized. It's like an apple.
It's just chicken fried steak in various shapes. The chicken fried steak cube is particularly delectable.
So day one, we all kind of hit town at different times, and I think I rolled in earliest, and I was able to come in, grab my badge, and then catch my first screening, and I caught something that I think we all eventually caught, was the...
The flu.
Oh, you feeling a little under the weather there, Pookie?
I actually kind of am.
Oh,
but But go on. What did you watch?
Well, I watched Making Monsters. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, we caught the. We did the second day of showing that. We caught a repeat.
Yeah, this was. I really enjoyed this one. Matt, you got a spoiler-free synopsis for us?
It's about a couple that runs a YouTube channel that is trying to conceive, and so they accept a friend's offer of a vacation in the country at their newly their estate, which is in a newly remodeled church. It's not creepy at all. And when they get there, things go awry.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. I'm Christian Brand.
Chris Brand.
Chris Brand.
Christian Brand, the mastermind YouTube sensation with 10 million YouTube subscribers. That's a pretty big deal. How does that even happen?
When a couple decides they're going to have fertility treatment, the key is to eliminate any unnecessary stress.
We should make this weekend like a location scout for the wedding.
You mean use Jesse's place?
Yeah, if it's cute.
Real celebrities in my church. God bless.
Why is he so weird?
I think he's kind of funny.
One of the things that I think is important to contextualize even in a capsule review here is the YouTube channel that this the main protagonist runs is a prank channel.
And boy, he is obnoxious.
Yeah.
The movie is functional and all the characters operate in their particular roles, but there is a good chunk of that movie that I really hated that guy.
Well, that's deliberate.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's not a knock against the movie. That's something very effective that I think was intentional. But what I really liked about this movie is it strikes, I guess, a very unique tone. Like, it's very funny in places, it's scary in other places, and it finds a good rhythm to that, but it's a unique rhythm. It's something that we haven't quite seen before. Or, you know, even if we've seen it before, we've seen it infrequently. This is a horror movie that's okay to laugh at, and I found that particularly refreshing. But on top of it all, and again, without getting into spoilers, this movie is not going where you think it is. And even, yes, you, the guy who, you know, really thinks he knows where this movie is going, you don't know where this movie is going. Stick with it.
Yeah, everything this movie throws at you feels earned. So like, it has some turns and gear changes and twists in it that they don't feel out of left field. And it also has a nice shocking establishing scene.
Yeah, that cold open's pretty gnarly. And it, like, the whole like first third of this thing like definitely leads you in one direction and has like a very distinct tonal shift in it. I think that's what I like best about it, is like, I thought it was going to be one thing and it absolutely was not that.
Yeah, so Making Monsters, directed by Justin Hardening and Rob Brunner, starring Elena Elmer, who is the lead actress there.
Okay.
And she was really fantastic. You know, she reminded me a lot of, I think Heather Donahue is the actress's name, and then Heather was her character's name in Blair Witch.
Yeah.
But she really struck that kind of, like, she's able to do subdued, but when she goes full bore tilt, full panic, like, it's really full panic. And I liked it. I thought she did a hell of a job.
Her panicked face had an element of, like, it also has this little soupçon of, I'm like, I'm a super pissed off this is happening.
Yeah.
like there is an indignance.
I mean, if you were married to that guy, like, wouldn't you be too?
Honestly, that's the most implausible part of that movie. And it didn't even, like, it didn't even ring with me. And after, like, the first third, I think, it was just like, eh, she's in for it. She's just, you know, she's grown out of it. Yeah. She was in for this, and you know, that's kind of the, I don't think we're spoiling too much to say the conflict is a little bit about her wanting to grow up and him not necessarily wanting to do that.
Right.
That is a present story plot, but that is definitely not everything that's going on. But yeah, this one was a high recommend for me. This was a hell of a way to kick off the festival for me.
Yeah. It was pretty good. It got me right in the mood.
Now, Matt, I think you rolled into town right after me. What was your first movie of the festival?
The first one I went to on day one was After Midnight.
Oh, man, I love that movie.
Which is, okay, it's about a guy and a lady, and they're a couple, and they're going to fight, and the lady goes away for a while, and while she's gone, just a monster starts coming by. Like, they're on the rocks, and also, at like midnight, a monster tries to get in to their old ramshackle house in the south.
You said you saw its hand. Did you mean its hand, or did you mean paw?
I look like a hand, Wade.
I don't know, man. I was watching a video the other day on aliens. And if they land here, scientists say they're probably going to be predators because they need meat to grow the brains the size they need to be to get the technology they need to get here. And then they showed a bunch of pictures of what aliens could look like, and they don't look like us, man. It's like Dark Crystal. It's like, because they come from different gravities and they have different like chemical makeups, they're like it could be a squid with like six eyes, or it could have like no eyes and see with emotions. And it was a nightmare, Hank. It was a nightmare. And it wasn't a horror movie, it was the Discovery Channel. And it was during the day.
You watch a lot of TV, Bubba.
I'm just saying that if I see something like that come out of one of these bushes, I'm gonna have a mental breakdown, Hank.
I wouldn't worry about it, Wade. You talk enough to clean the woods.
Now, I believe there's some actor overlap and there's some creative team overlap between this and Spring, which was a favorite movie of mine from, I think, like 2014, 2015.
Yeah, it was executive produced, I think, by the directing team.
Yeah, well, and then
Moorhead, I think their names are.
Well, and like one of the things that stayed my hand, and this is a BS prejudice of mine that I'm just going to own up to. You look at the listing for this movie, and Jeremy Gardner is the producer, writer, director, and star of the movie. And that's always, like, for some reason for me, a red flag. I prejudicially think somebody is really self-centered on when they do that.
Right.
And that's not always the case. Like, you know, we don't mother Kevin Costner for being, well, sometimes we mother Kevin Costner for being in his own movie.
Do you have to swear so much, dude?
But in this case, he was an actor in Spring. He was just an actor in that film.
Does he play like a bartender or something in that movie?
Yeah,
he has
yeah.
A real bit part.
He's a friend in that film.
He shows up in Joe Bigos's other movie that didn't play this festival, but played Fantastic Fest Bliss. He has like kind of a bigger part in that.
He was really good in this and After Midnight.
Oh yeah, I really dug this movie. I was a huge fan of The Battery, and I think he had like the same exact credits on that movie. Mm-hmm. He basically did everything. It's real low budget, and it's like a fairly simple story. Like Matt put it, like pretty much like all that's there. And usually when a movie tries to combine like sort of a horror story or like a monster story with like a relationship drama, my eyes just glaze over and I want to take a nap real bad. But this one actually, it was kind of the opposite of that. Like I actually really kind of liked some of like especially the stuff with him alone. That's really kind of what this movie is about, is like the
him coping,
the absolute monsters that men turn into when you leave them to their own devices, and they start shooting holes in the walls and getting drunk every single night and just going crazy generally. Well, I've been there.
I liked I'm trying to think of a way to say this right. I don't sound like a jackass. When I think of like relationship elements in a horror movie, I think of a found footage movie where the camera operator is a Gary Stu and he's an author insert, and like half the movie is just like his girlfriend telling him, "Turn off, turn off." And like you can tell that he's had like a horrible life of having no boundaries. And this is not that. This was like written, written from the center out to accommodate both themes.
Right.
And that made it all gel.
Well, and that's, you know, more than just the actor and team overlap. What conjured to mind Spring is a very effective relationship film, but is also at the same time a very functional horror film. Like,
yeah,
there is a horror movie at the heart of that, but at the main story we're telling, the main arc we're telling there is a story about the nature of love and attraction. And, you know, again, it's about a guy who goes through some emotional trauma and has to get his stuff together.
Right.
And this one, another thing I loved about it is it's very non-linear. You don't get the full story of what happened right away. They drop you really in the middle of not only the crisis that he's facing that may or may not be supernatural in nature, you're also being introduced to them in the middle of their relationship.
Right.
And you get different holes filled out of order chronologically throughout the course of the movie, so you can build not only the narrative of this really heart-wrenching emotional time in these people's relationship, which was also very real and very effective. It didn't feel forced. It felt very sincere. It felt like it came from a sincere place. And you're also getting the story arc of this may or may not be supernatural happening that's happening to this guy, this event that's befalling this man.
Right.
Because at first, you know, you start the movie and you're like, you're not sure how much time has gone by. You're not sure what's going on. And I think that was fun for me. It's kind of a fun detective game that you can play with the movie that keeps you engaged, keeps you on it. And, you know, the fact that we have such good performances in this, I want to shout out to Brea Grant, who plays the other half of this relationship. She's really fantastic in it. The makeup is really fantastic in it because you're looking at the characters over a span of time, and it's not a span of time that takes them from, like, ultra young to ultra old. It's a subtle change, and it works.
Right.
And I think the effects in here are sparing, but they looked largely practical, and if they were digital, it didn't stand out. Like, this is a pretty effective movie from head to toe.
Right. Yeah, I dug it. It's one of my favorite horror movies of the year, for sure, and definitely one I would recommend to people. Definitely Jeremy Gardner super fans like myself. I may have a little bit of a crush on the man.
Understandable. It's the beard.
He's dreamy.
Mark, you didn't really roll into town. The first thing you hit was the evening with Joe Bob Briggs, right?
I did. That was kind of the main priority. I missed his live show earlier this year when he was in Denver. And so when I heard that he was playing Telluride, it definitely became kind of a priority. We sat way too close for that because I was paying for that like the next day. Like, just like we were in the second row. Like, Joe Bob could have spit on me from the distance he was at. Like, so it was an interesting experience. I had a few beers during that too. So, I mean, like, by the end of that thing, I basically just felt like I'd gotten hit with a bus of information.
I think my tweet afterwards was begging Audible in the Great Courses to, like, cut Joe Bob a check to either do an audiobook version of one of his books or, you know, get him on, like, a lecture. Because this, if we haven't mentioned it yet, one of the main draws at this year's Telluride Horror Show was a live appearance by the legendary horror critic, I guess horror's not like Trailer Park Movies is his
drive-in critic.
Drive-in critic, yeah. Joe Bob Briggs, who was certainly instrumental in my genre film education. You know, people talk about different horror hosts. People talk about, you know, how they got into film. And one of the major... Is it the bear?
The bear learned how to drive a car.
Bear is driving. How can that be?
When you have kids, it's almost impossible to find time to catch up on all your geeky obsessions. Comic books, TV, movies, games. We get it. Geek Parenting Podcast understands your pain, and we are here for you. We're geeky parents just like you, and we come together once a week to talk about what it's like to raise your little geeklings while staying true to your fandoms. New episodes every week. Find Geek Parenting Podcast wherever you consume your podcasts. Follow us on social media at Geek Parenting Podcast. Sorry, Stefan.
Hello, sweetie.
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
Hello, little boys, little toys.
I'm a bunch of a-holes.
Guess who's back? Back again. Sweetie's back. Hello, friend.
That's right.
Hello Sweetie podcast is returning with brand new episodes starting August of 2019.
That's right. You heard that correctly.
You can hear us talk about so many things like tiny hats,
thimbles,
turtles,
your mom's house,
the internet,
tiny dogs,
a game you play on your TV,
tiny dogs wearing tiny hats,
little books,
cigarettes,
lots of small things.
What's with the small things?
Talking about the news in the movies,
TV,
the comic books,
music,
video games,
science, and more.
Find us everywhere you found us before. Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, the internet, and Google Play.
World's Backest Podcast.
You know, a lot of people write me and say, hey, Joe Bob Briggs, just what is Monster Vision? You don't need no special glasses or an insect's head. Just a healthy love for slime and disrespect for the dead. We'll talk about some movies by the old double wide. And when you get that creepy feeling creeping up inside, well, then you got Monster Vision. It's a heck of a fright. We're tearing the heart out of Saturday night. These Monster Vision movies serve a primitive drive. Cause watching people die can make you feel so alive. So throw away your clicker now, the flicks have begun. Cause there's nothing you can do while fully dressed. It's as fun as watching TNT beneath the bug zapper light. We're tearing the heart out of Saturday night.
Tearing the heart out of Saturday night.
Tearing the heart out of Saturday night.
Joe Bob was instrumental in teaching me about genre film. And it's because of, he had the show Monster Vision on TNT.
Right.
Which would show all these... I know for a fact Return of the Living Dead I first saw on Monster Vision. And I think I saw most of They Live uncut watching it with my dad off of Showtime or HBO or something like that.
Right.
But I think the first time I was able to... front to end, it was the edited for TV expurgated version that was on Joe Bob.
Right.
And Matt, were you a Joe Bob fan in the 90s?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like I would watch Monster Vision when it was on, along with Up All Night.
Yeah, that was another one. You got Gilbert Gottfried, Rhonda Shear. And then the other, I guess, nobody ever talks about this guy, but like if you watched USA like mid-afternoon on the weekdays, you had Commander USA, and he showed some awful movies, but he was kind of an in character costumed dude who would present movies on USA during the afternoons.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, neither do I. Are you a Mandela affecting on us?
For he is Commander USA, far below a teeming shopping mall. Commander USA enters his video vault to bring you action, adventure, and zany nonstop thrills in Commander USA's groovy movies. Today's groovy movie, Shud! And now, Commander USA!
But no, Joe Bob was the big one because as much as those other guys were entertaining to watch, Joe Bob knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And that's what made this particular presentation especially rewarding for me. This may not have been everybody's cup of tea. It is not an action-packed lecture, but it is for people like me who are into this world, who are into filmmaking, who are into history, who are into the weird films, the types of films that Joe Bob would show on at the drive-in or last drive-in on Shudder, which is currently going. Like, you can get the full Joe Bob experience currently on Shudder. But
I think At the Drive-In was a post-hardcore band.
Yeah, but I
The Last Drive-In is his current show on Shudder.
Am I f***ing this up?
He had another show on the movie. He had another show on the movie channel that I don't remember offhand what it was called. I think it might have been At the Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs or something like that.
I think so. Okay. Joe Bob's Drive-In Theater.
Okay, that's it.
Anyways, I don't want to embarrass ourselves on air, but...
Too late.
Monster Vision was the one I was able to get.
Yeah, that was like the first place I ever saw Friday the 13th, or I think I caught Halloween 2 for the first time on one of his just like Halloween movie marathons at my grandma's house where we had the cable.
Yeah, and you know what? One of the things I always loved about Joe Bob, and getting to meet him at this festival was kind of like a bucket list item for me. I mean, even when I started attending film festivals way back in, it was 2007, you know, I always said, you know, why doesn't Joe Bob come out to these things? I'd love to meet Joe Bob, because he had this thing that I loved where periodically when a commercial break would come up in a movie during Monster Vision, they'd toss to him and he'd do a little host segment in between the commercial breaks. And so he'd tell you a lot about the film. It was very educational. It was education about, you know, B-list movies, movies that some people may snub their nose at, but you know, you're getting an education while you watch. And he has this thing where he will tell you about the movie and then he'll say, okay, now we go back to Return of the Living Dead. And you think he's tossing to the movie. And then he switches camera angles and kind of rearranges himself in the seat and then starts to, you know, the thing about Linnea Quigley in that scene where she's naked on the tombstone,
the forgotten partner in the series, he ends up owning Living Dead. So he writes up this story, the one we're watching. He wrote this in the early 70s. Then in the late 70s, he sells the story to a Chicago stockbroker. Are you following me? The Chicago stockbroker hires Dan O'Bannon to write a new script and Toby Hooper to direct it. Toby drops out. Dan takes over as director. They make the movie. The people who own Romero's Dead movies sue him anyway to prevent its release, saying it'll be confused with Romero's films. They fight about it. They settle it. It comes out a year late. End of story. I'll shut up now because we got the scene that almost single-handedly made Linnea Quigley a big star and seriously contributed to her being the scream queen that she is today. Yeah. And Linnea, are you here?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here, Joe Bob.
Okay. Does this scene embarrass you, the one we're going to watch?
It depends who sees it.
Well, we're all going to see it now.
And then he tells you this wild and crazy story about, you know, having to use like a bald merkin in that scene. He goes on for another 5 minutes before they actually start rolling the movie. And when the last drive-in on Shudder brought that back, it was just, wow. Oh, it was like getting a shot of caffeine in the morning. It was just like, ah, I so missed this.
Yeah, the live show was good. It basically was like one of his tangents, like before he tosses to commercial. It was 2 hours long, and it was all about redneck movies, which...
Yeah, I guess we should probably mention the name of the show. It was Joe Bob Briggs, How the Rednecks Saved Hollywood, which is a presentation he's been given for a while, I think.
Yeah, I think so. He's
kind of one of those organic talks that he periodically changes up and refreshes as new movies come out. But, you know, he is who he is. He's a hillbilly. He'll give you the full history on what a hillbilly is and what that means and where they come from and what regions you can find them in.
It's not a redneck, and one don't like to be called the other.
Well, Joe Bob would contend that there is some overlap there. But, yeah, anyways, you really get a lesson not only in films that feature stereotypical rednecks, gap-tooth, murderous, you know, hill people who killed co-eds, you also get a history. You get human history, you get civilization history, you get regional history, geography. Like, it was a super informative night. And then both he and Darcy the Mail Girl from The Last Drive-In at Shudder made themselves available at a meet and greet afterwards. We're very generous with their time with us. Really nice people.
Yeah, they were. I didn't get to go to the main show, but I caught them later at Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That's right. We did get a 10-year retrospective screening of the seminal redneck horror comedy Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Now, everybody had seen this before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's a classic, and folks at home, if you haven't seen this yet, this is a must-watch. It's a good Halloween movie. It's a good autumnal movie. It's a fun party watch. It's not so spooky that you're going to pee a little. It's just a fun movie that plays on a lot of horror tropes and is really funny. It's got Alan Tudyk from Firefly. It's got Tyler Rabine from Sons of Tucson and several other things that are not coming to mind. He should probably be mentioned for something other than that. But a really fun screening of that. And then Eli Craig swung by and did a little discussion with Joe Bob after the film.
Yeah, trying to decide how much Tucker and Dale we can talk without spoilers or how much we need to since it's 10 years old. But Tucker and Dale essentially is a story of like... In a big Lebowskian fashion, it is a story that supposes, what if an entire redneck horror movie just happened by accident?
Did you see the way those guys looked at us?
Who wants to go skinny dipping? No!
We got your friend!
The Hillbillies! They captured Allison!
Oh, it's the pancakes! You hate pancakes? I'm gonna make you something else.
What am I doing here?
Fell into the water. I dove in and rescued you.
We'll go find your friends. You should relax. Tucker and Dale are on the case.
What is this place?
It's just a cabin. It doesn't mean they're psycho killers.
Then why don't you go in there and talk to them?
All right. Maybe I will. I said maybe.
Dale? What are you doing?
I'm digging a crapper hole.
You mind if I help?
He's making her dig her own grave.
There's no rules out here.
It's pretty amusing if you never watched it.
Yeah, I'd say it's like one of the latter-day classics.
It has one of my favorite lines in the world, which is, what happened to you? I walked into a beehive. Why? It's on par with, where do these stairs go? They go up.
So we also, Mark, snuck off to a special kind of key event at this festival, and that was the Creepy Campfire Tales. And we had Jeremy Robert Johnson and Kelly Link here, both of them. I believe Kelly Link was nominated for Pulitzer very recently.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it was literally just them sitting at a campfire telling spooky stories that they've written. And God, that was fun. That was just a neat little event to kind of be part of.
Yeah, it was in like the little, I forget what the name of the park is, but it's just like the park like right across the street from the Sheridan Theater. And it's got like these nice steps. There's nice, like, crisp chill in the air, and they just read some scary stories around a campfire. Yeah, that was cool. It was something I'd never, like, you don't get that kind of action at any old film festival.
Trevor, could you repeat what kind of award that was again?
A Pulitzer.
What kind of award was it?
Pulitzer.
What kind of award was it?
What?
Just having a little cool whip.
Leave me alone. I can't remember if it was the Pulitzer or not.
It was a Pulitzer. You'll hear it when you edit.
What did I say?
Pulitzer? Is that what he said?
He just kind of said it funny.
See, Jeremy Robert Johnson wrote the novel Skullcrack City. Kelly Link has a couple different collections of short stories out there. But folks, we've got more Telluride action coming for you in just a little bit, but we're going to take a break real quick here from the High Mountain Resort at Ursus Bruin and Kodiak Recording Studios. Matt, anything before we close out this particular chapter on Telluride?
Did I mention it was nice here?
It is very nice here. Like, this is very picturesque, very idyllic. Now, keep in mind, folks, I know nothing about architecture. I have never been to New England. But in my mind's eye, the New England that Stephen King kind of describes, like Derry, if you were to take like that kind of New England town and drop it right in the middle of the Rocky Mountains and just kind of maybe glue a little bit of Deadwood in there, that's kind of what this feels like to me. And that's totally a personal...
It's very quaint.
Yeah, it is quaint. Like, kids are out playing on their scooters and there's a crisp fall chill in the air, and you know that you don't want to look at the prices on any of these apartments because it will make you cry. All right, folks. Well, I think we're going to wrap up this particular episode, but we will have more hot Telluride three-way action coming at you here on the Nighthawks podcast.
Hashtag Trevor makes it weird.
Part of the Hello Sweetie Podcast Network. Find us on Stitcher. Find us on Spotify. Find us on Apple Podcasts. Find us on Google Podcasts. Find us. Reach out. We're good people.
And share us.
And a special shout out to Ted Wilson and Travis Voles, who Ted is the kind of grand poobah of the festival, and Travis is his right-hand man at the throne. A special debt of thanks. Ted actually made himself available to Matt and I for a phone call that we had planned on airing, but unfortunately the audio did not come out so hot on that. So thank you very much for that, Ted, but... yeah, we had to deliver that kind of weird, awkward news. Thank you for the phone call, but we can't use it.
My computer ate it.
Stand by for part two, in which we talk about more specific movies. And also, like, just that it's nice here.
It's very nice.
Isn't this how nice it was?
The bear is non-political.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. have a safe and pleasant evening. Take care out there, because it's almost morning.
They were super aggressive, actually.
Yeah, they had a little bit more class. They weren't like the, well, I don't know.
No, they were complete pieces of crap. They were, one of them was like, "You got any money?" And I'm like, "No, I don't have any money." He goes, "Well, do you got any food?" And I go, "No, I don't have any food." He goes, "Could you go back in there and get us some food?"
That's pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Well, that's an alpha position, sir. My hat's off to you, but no. Then I did what I always do when somebody really annoys me, is I stand there and talk to them until they leave.
It worked. I saw all of this.
Where was this at?
This was like the first night, like when we were standing outside the Sheridan waiting for Joe Bob, I think.
Oh, was it that dude that sounds like Michael Moriarty from Pick Me Up?
And also like two cartons of them, because I'm a nicotine addict.
Yeah, and he was dressed like the kids in the beginning of American Werewolf in London. Like he's ready to sleep on the streets when it's like 19 degrees outside.
Oh, I don't even remember that one. I was thinking of the two guys outside the brew pub.
Okay.
He's definitely panhandling for some money. Maybe that shtick works with like the ski tourists. But it's
when he would like hold out his hat for money, I would just stand there and people would like look at me and be like, "Are you with them? You clearly don't need food money." And like I was just like harshing their mellow by being there, but they were like, you know, like while I stood there, they like made like $9 and half an order of wings. I almost just sat down and took my hat off and. Put a couple bucks in it.
This is a Hello Sweetie Podcast Network production.